Proverbs chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 6, and then I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2 for me. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2 with me. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Please help us tonight. Open it to our hearts. And Father, we want to study and learn your word. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing your word. So please help us as we look into it, touch our hearts, strengthen us, challenge us, and help us please as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And a couple of months ago, we did a Bible study called The Power of a Proverb. One time for a soul-winning challenge. In Saturday, we were reading Proverbs, and Brother Doggett came to me, and he said, I really appreciate being able to go through Proverbs, and I want my kids to hear thoughts on that. And that just, he said that to me 2 years ago, I think, and I never forgot that. And so as we look into this, we did the power of a proverb, and all it was we took the word proverb means a statement with a hidden meaning. So you can read it, but what God's trying to get you to do is say, what does the Lord want me to get from that? Not, in other words, you've heard me say it before, you're not supposed to read your Bible as a newspaper. You're not supposed to read your Bible as another book. You're supposed to read your Bible and think about what you're reading. And the book of Proverbs, filled with Proverbs, is one of the books where the verses can stand all by themselves. So you can read one verse, and then the next verse will talk about a truth, and then the opposite picture to help you think about it. And so we looked at Proverbs 12:1. And I wanted to show you Proverbs 12, verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. If I'm going to think about this verse, the first thing I understand is whoever a good man is, they have to be good in God's eyes. I think I'm a pretty nice guy. I like my Christianity, but I found out to grow as a Christian, I'm not supposed to figure out if I like me and my Christianity. I'm supposed to find out if God's pleased with my Christianity. Because everybody thinks they're wonderful, right? That's our pride. So I want to be a good man in God's eyes, but notice a good man obtains or gets favor from the Lord. That means he's going to do what it takes to be a good man to obtain or get that favor. It's not automatically given. It's obtained if you meet God's requirements. And so I want to take the thought, what is a good man? We'll see this later. If I could get God's favor, the Bible says I'll delight in life. I'll enjoy life. I'll enjoy being saved, but I need to meet God's requirements to get God's favor. How do I do that? Take your Bible and let's just use the thought good man for a second. Go to Psalm 37. Go back just one book, Psalm 37, and look at you say this is a popular verse. Let's see if we can figure out what a good man is in the Bible. And I know a good lady, but you know, you've heard me say it before, you know, we are sons and daughters of God, But remember, a daughter doesn't have an inheritance. That's why they that receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, what? Have the power to become the sons of God. And God uses sons of God because sons have an inheritance from the Father. You want to be a son of God when you get saved. Amen. It's more of a reference to the inheritance. But watch this. Psalm 37, look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So if I want to be a good man in God's eyes, one of the things I need to do is I need to ask the question, what does God want me to do? God's will should be important to me as a Christian. There's my will and there's God's will. And every day it's me against Jesus. And if I have a good day, I lose. And every time I have a bad day, it's when I do what I want to do instead of what Jesus wants me to do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered. That means a Christian should be asking the question, I want to do what God saved me to do. I want to do God's will. I don't know if you realize it or not, tomorrow we live our tale as a lie, we live our lives as a tale that is told, Psalm 90. Tomorrow's already planned out for you by God. Are you going to do tomorrow what God wants you to do, or are you going to do what you want to do? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means I'm interested in doing God's will. There's one more aspect on it. I hit on it this morning. But to ask, what does the Bible say? My feelings and emotions aren't supposed to come into play, but what does God's Word say? If I'm looking for God to order my Word, then I let God say, don't go here, go here, don't say this, say this. I'm allowing God to order me if I'm a good man in God's eyes. I let the Bible correct me. God has to be able to warn you and to instruct you. So this morning we looked at Hebrews, didn't get to look at it. I want to do a Bible study on it. Do you understand the chastisement of God? Whole chapter in it on the Bible. Some people can get spanked by God, and you'll notice a spanking by God always directs you. And some people can't handle it, and it says some people quit because God better not correct them. And one thing you learn about chastening is when God corrects you, He always tells you why He's doing it. Nobody has to wonder. You know when you're getting spanked. You know when God has your number and is saying, I told you no. Right? Nobody, and watch this, that's between the Christian and the Lord. If I'm letting God order my steps, telling me where to go, I want to be a good man in God's eyes. And I want God to order my steps. I want Him to control me. And He does that through the Word of God. That's Psalm 37. Notice the end of the verse. And He delighteth in His way. It could, you say, well, as far as the pronoun, it's going to reference. I think it means this. It could be God delights in your way when you let Him order your steps. I think it means this. When you let God order your steps, you delight in your way. You enjoy being a Christian. Nobody's happy being selfish, being self-centered, narcissistic people, you know, existentialism and living for pleasure, and that's the end goal in life. Those people are miserable. Money can't buy happiness. Happiness comes from your love and helping other people. That's the way God designed us. Our joy comes from getting involved in the lives of other people and being a blessing, right? Our family, those that God gives us. He delighteth in His way. So, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How about now, go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112, you're in Psalm 37. Psalm 112, and look at verse 5. Remember, the whole thought tonight is a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. If I want God's favor, I want to be a good man in God's eyes. So I need to let God order me and control me. Then Psalm 112 verse 5 says this, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. Two things. He will guide his affairs with discretion. God says a good man, if he has it, and if he can be a blessing to somebody else, he will. Sometimes I don't have it to give. I don't have extra. Sometimes I do. But the Bible says a good man asks himself the question when somebody has a need, what can I do? Sometimes I can do something, sometimes I can't. But a good man shows favor and lends. First thing he does. You can't lend unless you're looking for needs. That comes from not being oblivious to what's going on around you and noticing people and looking at what do they need? How can I help them? God has me here to teach and to be a blessing to other people. Lord, use me today in the lives of other people. A good man shows favor and lends. Then also, notice what else he does. He will guide his affairs with discretion. I think that includes when you lend. If you aren't careful, I like this statement. I've used it all since I've been saved. My pastor taught it to me. If you don't have it to give, then don't lend it. If you can't lend it and they never return it and you not get upset because that was the only one you had, then don't lend. If you can't do without that money and you're going to miss a bill payment, then don't lend somebody that money. Sometimes I don't have it to lend. I guide my affairs with discretion. I need to think, this piece, this domino is going to knock over. This domino is going to, and I need to think about what I'm doing. A good man says, praise, Lord, can you use me to meet that? I remember when a bus engine blew in our church in Tennessee, and it was, I think, $800 to rebuild the engine. Nobody in the church could pay for the whole engine. But we just started saying, okay, the bus engine blew. We need to pick up kids. It's going to take about a week and a half to fix the bus. Who can give $10? I think I wrote down, I was the number taker, right? Then they said, who can give 15? Wrote that down. I wasn't writing down names. I was trying to figure out until we got to 800 bucks. Who can give $20? And everybody, you know what? In about, I think, 10 minutes, we raised $800 to rebuild the bus engine. Somebody said, Lord, what do you want me to give? How can I help? Have a part in that. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. If I want to be a good man in God's eyes and obtain favor from the Lord, I need to let God order my steps. I need to lend, which would include looking for the needs of other people. Go to Proverbs 13:22 now. Proverbs 13, verse 22. I think when you read the book of Proverbs, it helps if you read it and think about it. Because, you know, most people, if they just read what we read in Proverbs 12, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Most people, if you don't think about it, you would think, you would do this, and, you know, I'm a good guy. I got God's favor. Time to move on. And you wouldn't think into the verse, what is God trying to say to me through this proverb? Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That means his grandkids. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, I know when you think inheritance, we automatically think money. And it says, if you're a good man in God's eyes, you leave something for your grandchildren. I think that means this. I think it means more than money. What are my children learning from me? And how did I influence the last generation? I have tools in my toolbox that were given to me from my grandparents, my uncles, my dad. They influenced me. I have an inheritance. Well, how much money is it? Probably not a whole lot. Not a whole lot financially, but I can tell you this. They were interested in teaching me character and discipline. And they were my heroes. Do you understand? And I have an inheritance from them. And a good man says, what am I leaving the generation that comes after me? I've got to influence my kids. They're going to see my bad traits, right? My kids are raised around daddy, right? But what good am I leaving them? What are they going to say when I'm gone? He taught me this, and I'm going to stay true. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And that's why if I could get you, sure, if you can leave money, that's always a blessing. That's always a help. But if you can't, can you leave character training? They say to touch the life of a child is to touch a life forever. What are you passing on? Brother Bernie's had the privilege of being a Sunday school teacher he's worked with children for 50 years. He's touched a lot of lives. We'll find out when we get to heaven all the influence he has had. We've had people come to our church saying, yeah, he taught me when I was a teenager. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Let me show you a similar verse on that. Go to Acts chapter 13, and then we'll keep on pursuing here. A good man leaving an inheritance to your children's children. Acts chapter 13, and look at verse 36. Acts 13 and verse 36. Here we go. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because he pursued the Lord. But he also thought about those that were coming after him. He was a good man in the sight of God. If somebody said, well, what'd you record those CDs for? I'd like to think if after I'm gone, somebody could say, there's good music out there, but I have some from Brother Nash. I was thinking it would still be playing if the Lord called me home before the rapture. Amen? Somebody said, before our church split, somebody said, he records his messages. And then he puts them on the internet. What a proud man. All he's interested is people listening. The reason I record my messages is so that if something happens to me, I want my children to be able to say, that's my daddy preaching. That's what he believed, and that's what he left us. I've been recording my messages now for over 25 years. I don't care who doesn't do it. My first thought of, I was doing it for my children. Then I do it for my church. Amen? But no, I don't do it because I'm trying to be in the limelight. I would like to think if I got in a car accident tomorrow and the Lord called me home, that people could say, yeah, we got over 800 sermons on our internet. Yeah, that's what our pastor preached and that's what he believed. I'd like to think this, now let me think into this. I'm trying to think, what are you leaving for the next generation? I'd like to think this. If our church struggled in calling a pastor, if something happened to me, we have enough preaching that you could gather and listen to a sermon and hear truth yielded. There's other churches that have met with hearing, they'll sing, they do announcements, and then when it's time to hear preaching, they'll play a message. I don't think you have to do that, but I'd like to think you could if you wanted to. Amen? What are you doing for the next generation? A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Christian, I think everybody ought to be doing something to leave behind for those that are coming after you. When we get to do the men and boys camp out, it's so neat. I enjoy it. I love it. You say, why? Just the thought of getting to influence, spending time. To watch us out there, it's fun. It's great. But to influence those boys watching, it just blesses my heart. It blesses my heart. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children. So, let's keep on going here. Let's go back to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 14:14. We're looking at a good man. I want to be a good man in God's eyes so I can get God's favor. I don't want to think that I'm a good guy and God say, you got some things to work on. You want to be good, you want my favor, these are things you need to work towards. I'll give it to you if you meet my conditions. Look at Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 14. Proverbs 14
We go, Proverbs 14:14.
The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man, watch, shall be satisfied from himself. Let's pull two conclusions from this. You can always tell when you're backslidden, when you're self-centered. Because this is what I want to do, and what I think, and what I want, and what I... A backslider is filled with his own ways. It's just what he wants to do. Well, have you prayed about it? It's what I want to do. Oh, yeah, I need to pray about it. Dear God, help me do what I want to do. Well, do you know what the Bible says about it? It's just what I've always wanted to do this. A backslider in heart is filled with what he wants to do. Every Christian should be able to say when they're backslidden or not. When I want me time, when I'm in it for me, I'm backslid. Then look, a good man, it says a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That means when you do right and you obey God, you can pull strength from it and satisfaction. You know what? I don't care who doesn't like me. I pleased the Lord. I'm satisfied from myself. I know how hard I worked at it. I know how much time I put into it. Well, they think it's... A good man is satisfied of himself. I know what I gave. I know whether I did my best or not. I told a basketball team, they said, would you give our basketball team a charge before they go out there and play? And they were looking at me to blow them up, and you can do it, rah, 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 and beat them and all that. I walked in and I said, gentlemen, I said, I don't know whether you're going to win or lose or not. I just know this. You'll sleep good tonight if you go out there and give your best. But you selfish idiots that got to be the number one showman and you're not a team player and you can't work with other people, I said, I hope everything you do selfishly sticks in your mind. You want to win the game? I don't know what the score is going to be, but if you want to win the game, go out and beat you. That a good man is satisfied from himself. That God says, are you satisfied with what you did? How do you analyze it? Well, got an A. Did you do your best? How do you live with yourself? Brother Hiles used to say, I think in the 90s when incest was, there were some statistics out, and he said, if incest is going on in the home, he said, what a horrible place. And he said, how do you face yourself when you shave? If that type of vileness is happening, how do you face you? A good man is satisfied from himself. I want to work at doing my best for the Lord. Somebody told me 10 years ago, they said, you know, when you work with music, your standards are too high. I said, too high? I said, all I'm trying to do is help a choir sing their best. I'm trying to, if you sing a solo, I can help you sing your best. But I said, I'm not trying to get you to please me. I'm trying to get you so when the song's done, you can say, I gave it everything I had. I put the time into practice. I put it in. I know what I did. And I've had songs that I goofed up. I remember we practiced a song as a quartet and 800 people on a Sunday morning. We got up there and I was lead. They had tenor, you know, baritone and bass, and I forgot the words. And the words, I forgot how the stupid song went. And the words were right here. And I remember, and they're all looking at me, going, Brother Nash. And I asked the pianist, I said, could you start again, please? It was gone. I did it three times. Do you remember that? If you doubt, ask my wife, okay? Finally, you know what I said? I said to 800 people, right before Pastor Owens preached, right? I said, folks, I'm sorry. I can't remember the song. We really did practice. We really gave it our best. And you deserve better than this, and I'm sorry. Put up our microphones, we went and we sat down. You know how I made it through that without getting so discouraged I'd quit? I asked to ask myself the question, did you work hard at the song? Yes, I did. It had 4 hours of practice time, 4 hours of singing that song. for some reason, I was new to music, and you get that much tunes in your head, and sometimes stuff just falls off the shelf. There's not enough room on. That's what happened to me that morning. It's not happened since then. But how do you live through failures when you can say, I worked at it? A good man is satisfied from himself. He pulls satisfaction. Let's look at a few more things here. What else? Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. I want to be a good man to obtain God's favor. I want to meet God's conditions. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In Luke 6, we read, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. A good man is a blessing to people because of how he talks to them. And an evil man leaves a mess behind him. Everywhere they go, it's contention and battling. And a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, seeks to be a blessing to people. How can I be an encouragement to them? How can I be a help to them? And they're careful with what they say. Out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. Well, where's it going to come forth out? It's going to come out of his mouth. I want to be a blessing. Doesn't it say you can kill with your tongue or give life? And a good man seeks to be a blessing. I want to be a help, an encouragement. I can cut with my tongue. I can be nasty. I have the potential. A good man says, I don't want to use my mouth in a bad way. How about this? So we've looked at, go back to Proverbs chapter 12. So if I want to be a good man and get God's favor, I need to let God order my steps. That you can't do that without reading the Bible. I want to show favor and lend and guide my affairs with discretion. We looked at Proverbs 13:22. I want to leave an inheritance to my children's children. How am I affecting the next generation? In Proverbs 14:14, we said he's satisfied from himself. And Matthew 12, out of his heart, he brings forth good things. And finally, underneath a good man, let's look at Acts 11:24. Watch this. Well, go ahead and start at verse 22, but verse 24 is what I want to show you. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Watch, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This isn't the church calling him a good man. This is God calling Barnabas a good man. And when God calls somebody good, it's because they let, to be full of the Holy Ghost, you have to be yielded to the Lord. You have to care about what God wants. God doesn't fill everybody. God fills yielded vessels. And he was a good man. And God says, this man right here, Paul's helper, right? He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Bible. Faith in God's Word. I can trust God. I'm yielded and I trust God. We've learned a lot. We've learned enough tonight to keep you busy all week. Amen? But what does a good man do? I hope from this, we're going to look at a few more things here, but when you read your Bible, if you would think into it, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. I want to be good in God's eyes. I'm not perfect. I'm not flawless. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I have plenty of errors, but I want God to be able to say, he's a good man. He's full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He trusts my word. He lends. He's leaving an inheritance to his children. He's working at being a good man in my eyes. And that verse really sticks out with me. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. There's two more things I want to add to the list, and it doesn't use the word good man. Are you ready? Look at Proverbs 18, verse 22. You're in Proverbs 12. Look at just take a glance at Proverbs 18, 22. Watch this. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. There's that obtaining favor of the Lord again. If you want God's favor, you need to work at marrying well. You marry well by choosing well. It would help if the girls were more interested in anything with pants on. How's his character? Can he hold down a job? Can he care for somebody else other than himself? Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and gets God's favor. I feel God's blessed me with a wonderful wife. I think I have a great wife. She's my favorite. That's a joke. That's a joke, okay? But as I think of this and I think of the unmarried, I think if you want God's favor, you need to be interested in the character and spirituality of the person you're marrying. If you want to, every wife is not a good thing, and every husband isn't good just because they're married. I hope you marry well so you can get God's favor. God's favor. So marrying well would include, what do I need to do to be a good man to get God's favor? Or what do I need to do to get God's favor? We've gone through a list. Let's look at one more thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and look at verse 35. Proverbs 8:35. Proverbs 8:35. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and here we go, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. The whole chapter's on wisdom. God is the only one that gives wisdom, Proverbs 4, and wisdom comes from God's mouth. There's only one place truth. World gives wisdom in all of its magazines and all of its art. There's only one place good wisdom comes from, and that's this book. And God says, whoso findeth me finds life and gets God's favor. A good man has things that he's striving for, but the Bible has to be number one. God says, you know, he's not perfect. He's not sinless, but he cares and he's trying to do what my word says. Whoso finds me, finds God's wisdom, finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. Here we go. Let me finish up the verse this way. So tonight, when I do things like this, I'm hoping I can teach you to use. I don't want to just think into the verse. I want to use, where does God use the word good man throughout his word? What is a good man in God's eyes? So I try to define that with the Bible. And then, wow, my heart is touched. I'm challenged. I'm not perfect. I got a lot to work on. Boy, we got a busy week ahead of us. I want to be a good man in the sight of God. I want God's favor. Then, watch this. But a man of... As a matter of fact, if you take the word favor, and go to Psalm 5, verse 12. Psalm 5. Go back one book. Psalm chapter 5. Watch this. Psalm 5, 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. God's favor is a protection for me. It's a shield. If you have God's favor, he protects you and guards you. I need that. Amen? We all need that. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Let's wrap it up with the last phrase of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. But a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Wicked devices. Wicked devices. What? Go to Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37. I know we started there tonight in Psalm 37, 23. Look at Psalm 37 and look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. It seems like when America was founded, there was a lot of people working for the good, and there was a lot of people working for the evil. When the mid-1800s, Charles Darwin comes out with evolution. He wasn't the first one to come out with it, but he probably publicized it to the point where it was then taught in colleges. Marxism comes out, same 1840s, written by a slob, and yet it started spreading all over the world. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and those working the capitalism at its evil point to work evil in America, we're now watching come to fruition. There's a lot of things that were, there's a lot of seeds that were planted in early America that we're watching destroy America now. God says, don't you fret about those who bring wicked devices to pass. It helps me. God says, well, what are we going to do about this? Just keep on doing right. Don't let you, there's been wicked people in every empire and kingdom. The devil is alive and well on planet Earth. Okay? And he's, until Jesus comes and takes the reign, he's going to, right now, Satan is in control in the times of the Gentiles. You think there's going to be war and disease and killing and, yes. Don't worry about it. Fret not thyself because of men who bring wicked devices to pass. Quit worrying about it and just work at living for the Lord. Only in the last 300 years have we enjoyed this type of freedom. All the Christians who went on before us had to serve God with a government that hated them and hunted them. Yet they still kept their focus on the Bible, winning people to Christ, doing God's will and what God told them to do. Fret not thyself because of men who bring wicked devices to pass. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 12, and we'll read it one more time. Proverbs 12, verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. God sees it all. When you read the book of Proverbs, yes, you can read a chapter a day, right? Whatever day it is, today is the 16th. Today's, so you read Proverbs 16. Tomorrow's the 17th. So you read Proverbs 17. And you can do that. But do you ever take a proverb and just stop one and just think about it? What does God want me to learn from that one proverb? Tomorrow when you read Proverbs 17, maybe a verse will stick out to you that you can go back and meditate on and maybe study. But how do you do that? Tonight, you could call the Bible study a good man in the eyes of God. I want to be a good man in the sight of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, please help us as your people, Lord, not to just read your word as just any other book.